Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast designed for fans just like you by fans just like us. I'm your host, Mitchell A. Halleck, and joining me as always, my Tonto, my Robin, my boy Wonder, that's right, the Wonder Girl to my Wonder Woman, John Cimino. Hello, John, how are you today?
Good, Mickey.
Oh, John, I know you're in the midst of helping a friend of ours, Scott Tucky, with his brand new Mego Elastic Plastic Stretch Hulk. Is that what you've been up to?
Yeah, helping. This Hulk has been trapped by God. General Ross trapped him in the box.
Not everybody can have. I think you are one of the few on the earth that have the most pristine examples of that rare toy, are you not?
Yeah, not one of. I am the.
Really?
Yeah, there's one other one that hasn't been fixed up, but it's not, for some reason, they didn't put a lot of syrup in, so he's kind of like flat. But all the other ones, there's about 13 of them, 13 to 4, there's less than 20 in the world, and the rest of them all have some sort of defect on them.
And yours is the, is it one of the top 10 best examples of it?
One of it is the best one. And I know that for a fact because the biggest Mego dealer in the world, his name is Mark Huckabone out of California, Chicago. He's the guy that sold me his out of his private collection. And it was verified from him. And it's also made appearances in Tomat Magazine back in the early 2000s, no, late 90s. My Stretch is actually in there because Huckabone put it in there. And he actually told me straight up it was the best Stretch Hulk in existence. And if anybody knows the truth, it's Mark Huckabone. All me, the toy collectors, will know that name.
All right. Well, look, it's that time of year. We got a special thing later on the show, a little PSA, public service announcement here when it comes to how you can go about reading your comics. It's a very important subject. It's one that all of us have to deal with at one time of our lives. We're going to hear from some of our fans, some of our professionals, and how they read their comics. But I have to start it off with, John, because by the time people hear this, it will be December, and that means that Christmas will be a mere 3 weeks away, or Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating out there. And I wanted to get our annual Christmas guide, our good 20 minutes of what to get the fans, whether you have a couple dollars or a couple hundred dollars or a couple thousand dollars. You being the guy who sells it all, I'm going to throw some ideas out you, and you tell me what you think is cool or not cool, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's start off with books. I love getting books, comic books, hardcover books, all kind of books. That's what the house is full of around here. I'm going to start off, and you tell me a suggestion for the comic book fan in your life, whether it's for your husband, brother, cousin, uncle, whatever, maybe for yourself. I'm going to say omnibuses are a good value. There's plenty out there, a lot of good heroes, a lot of good storylines, giant books the size of old phone books, heavy, valuable, and collectible too. And you can get a good value and price over at Amazon. What do you recommend this year? Do you first agree with me that omnibuses are a good investment for a fan? And two, what are some of the best ones out there?
Well, first off, yes, I definitely agree with you. And just this past weekend, a guy came to my shop, and he's trying to get the whole run of Avengers. And he says he can't really afford the first couple issues. And he said he was looking for something that he can fill that in while he's collecting all the other stuff. And he goes, and then I can come back and eventually buy those other ones. And I said, the omnibus, the Avengers Volume 1 is the perfect thing for that, because you not only get the issues and in full color and stuff, you also get the letter pages and stuff, which gives you all the Marvel stuff that you wanted to read at that time in there. So you get the letters pages, the bullpen pages, and the story, and in the hardcover. So I would definitely agree to that.
Well, I'm going to say, here's a couple of my suggestions out there. Being a Marvel fan, I just picked up The Punisher. We had a big show about that a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to say some of the ones is a must-have for any Marvel fan in their library, and they're constantly being reprinted. I'm going to say Spider-Man, Stanley Steve Ditko, Volume 1, Volume 2. What do you think about that?
I would scrap Volume 2 and just say Volume 1. And the reason why I say that is because that's everything. Because that omnibus has everything Steve Ditko and Stan Lee did together on Spider-Man. So it also includes Strange Tales Annual 2. That's also in there. I think Enough Land X, or there's something else in there too, that with all the stories and the annuals, of everything that Stanley and Steve Ditko did together on Spider-Man. That's why I would say that. The reason why I don't say number two is because it's not everything, you know, Romita and Stan Lee did. You're going to probably have to get eventually to number three. But if you're getting like a gift that you just want to give somebody that has everything you need of all the essential stories, because let's be honest, all those are comic covers, so I would say Volume 1, Mitch.
All right. Fantastic Four, Volume 1, Jack Kirby, Stan Lee. Worth it?
Yeah, but I would go, they have three volumes of that, and I would say Volume 1, 2, and 3. That would be a better gift, getting those together, because it has all those great stories in that.
See, I don't have number 3. I just have 1 and 2. I don't like the books when they get into the 70s, when you get Wyatt Wingfoot and some of the Inhumans, and Dr. Doom comes back. Does that go all the way up to 100?
No, that's the thing. That's when I was a little upset. I wish Volume 3 went up to 102. 102 is the final. But I don't think they're ever going to make a Volume 4. But those stories are so good that I have to admit, if you're going to go to the Fantastic Four, Volume 1, 2, and 3 is the way you got to go with that. Standalone, Volume 1, Spider-Man. And to throw this at you, Mitch, and you know how big of a Hulk fan I am, I'm not going to recommend The Incredible Hulk, Volume 1. I'm not going
to... Well, first off, it's impossible to find. It's been out of print for several years. It's like in the aftermarket, anywhere from $200 to $300, which is kind of crazy.
Right, but the thing is you want to be honest, and I hate to throw this out there, but I'm not too thrilled about all those Tales to Astonish stories.
Yeah.
Because Ditko drawing the Hulk was awful. So I'm going to recommend this. Get the Marvel Epic Collection, and I told you about this before. If you're going to go for The Incredible Hulk, get the Marvel Epic Collection, and it's called Man or Monster.
Yeah.
And it's about $30, and it has all the early appearances of The Incredible Hulk in his first series, in the Avengers, his guest appearances in Spider-Man, and all those other things before he went into his own series. So if you're going to look for the Hulk, it's called Man of Monster, The Epic Collection.
All right, and a couple other cool things out there. We got to throw out any DC ones can you recommend? See, they have a lot of the Golden Age stuff, the old Superman, the old Batman from the 40s, 50s. Not a fan of the artwork or the storytelling, so if you're a fan of those characters, I don't recommend those books. You?
No, but to be fair, I'll tell you what I have. They're called the Archives Editions. Remember the Archives? They're almost like they're a little smaller than the actual omnibuses, obviously. But I'll tell you this. The ones I actually have three of them. I have the Shazam one, which is the first...
Really?
10 issues of Liz Comics, which is great. But I also have the Batman one and the Dark Knight one, because the Batman one is it's Batman 1 through 10, and then it's the Dark Knight one is Detective Comics 27 to, I don't know, it's about 10 issues.
Now, why are those so good?
Why are they so good? Because they're essential. Like, if you really want to read those first stories, the first stuff that really that really, you know, that took the world by storm because that started comic books. Those. Now, I wouldn't go deeper into those because the stories get a little cheesy and all that stuff. But if you want to read those, it's essential to read the, those first Batman, that first Shazam. I don't really care about the Superman, so I know I didn't throw Superman in the Action Comics one because I like Shazam better. But even that first Volume 1 of Action Comics or Superman, just Volume 1, because that's good. I think, Mitch, the fact that you don't have those, I think it's wrong. I think you should go out and get those. Just the first volumes, just to have those stories.
Yeah.
Because they're so important to... I know you're a Marvel guy, but it's so important to comic history.
Yeah.
That you should have it. And I know they were going for like $50-$60, but I think, I don't know how much they are now.
They actually, you know what, I gotta admit, they're a lot cheaper than the Marvel ones for some odd reason.
Right, but they have the same color, almost the same quality paper.
Yeah.
But Mitch, I think you should look into that. At least the Batman ones.
Well, no, when I do look at them, sometimes I'll see the Silver Age Flash book, the Silver Age Green Lantern book, things like that. They're supposed to be $100, depends on where you get them. But on Amazon, I see them always down to about $60. And we're talking like over 1,000 pages of stories. That's, I mean, that's amazing. You can't find a better value than that, you know?
No, absolutely. But like I said, they're just essential. If, to anybody, just get the volume one. Just the volume one of each. You know, I know they go up to like 5 or 6 to 10 volumes. Yeah, but the stories get horrible.
Yeah. And speaking of Amazon, that's where I get a lot of this stuff, but I got to throw it out real quick. My local comic book shop here in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut, Cave Comics, right now, if you're listening to this and you're in the area between now and Christmas Day, they're running a special. Buy two of any trade or graphic novel, paperback, or hardcover. Get the third one free. So I picked up the other day A Punisher by Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon. I also picked up the Jack Kirby, what they call the Artist Editions, IDW. They're replicas of the actual artwork from the books when they used to make them. They were oversized, really big. You could see the detail and the notes and all that. And then because it was a third book free, I did pick up the Green Lantern Silver Age because I do like the Green Lantern. Anyway, just throwing that. Those are another thing. I know you're not a big art fan. I am. I'm talking about these IDW Artist Editions. There's these massive books, like 12 by 18 or bigger. And if you're a fan of artwork, you can actually see up close. They'll have like Steranko's Nick Fury and Captain America, The Dark Knight Returns. There's some real classic stories out there. I have a Roy Thomas, Howard Chaykin book that they did for Star Wars. You could see all the notes and all the scribblings from...
Speaking of Roy and Howard and Star Wars, that there's an omnibus of the first Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, there is. That's another bargain. That one's like $40 or $50, depending on where you go. And that has all the Star Wars adaptation, and plus the first ever after Star Wars sequel to the movies by Roy Thomas and Howard Chaykin that are in those books. Those were way before George Lucas did The Empire Strikes Back. These were the very first sequels to the epic Star Wars film by our friends Roy and Howard Chaykin. So, yeah, that would be a cool gift as well. So,
for a Star Wars fan, of course.
Yeah, yeah, for the Star Wars fan. What about other books like Guardians of the Galaxy? A lot of those books, what are the books you get? Are they the essentials? They're the black and white Marvel ones. They're only like $10.
Right. So, I mean, the thing is, they don't make them anymore, but this is... If you can go, if you don't want to spend the $50 or $60, you can go find essentials. Now, essentials were basically 40 issues in a black, but they were in black and white.
Right.
And I think DC copied them and they called it Showcase, and they had that too. But I'll tell you this, at my shop, I sell a ton of those. I sell them for $5 each. $5 each. And they went for a few volumes. But that's a great. Like, if you can't afford the omnibus, I would say the essentials, because I'll tell you what, that Essential Punisher, the one that you got, I don't have that one yet, I mean the omnibus one, but I have the Essential one.
Yeah.
And the Essential one is just exactly the same, and has
except black and white. Pieces. Yeah.
It's just in black and white, but you can find those for $5 to $10
Yeah, absolutely. Those are always marked down, and you can also go to eBay to find a lot, and a lot of them are on Amazon for dirt cheap as well, for like $10.
Now think about that. You can still get that all those stories. Like you're talking 40 issues or 20,
yeah,
whatever, 50 issues for only like $5 to $10.
So I know.
That's a great way.
Well, they do. Marvel started doing this new thing called the Epic Collections, where they do reprints of books. But what they do is they take a certain theme. Like they just came out with Hulk versus Thor, and it was only like 15 or 16, maybe $18. And they collected all the epic Thor Hulk battles from the Avengers 3 to Hulk, was it Thor 127? Is that the one we did on the show?
You made a little mistake there. That's an actual question is what I'm making essentials for the epic collection. And what those are the issues, but they're in color.
Yeah, they're color. Yeah.
Something a little different though. What they are storylines actually though. Because you can see the new Thor one, there's a Ragnarok.
There's a Ragnarok one, yep.
Yeah. There's the Spider-Man one. They're actually stories, like storylines. So like it could be like 10 issues or 15 or 20 issues, but it's the entire. They have one, the Galactic Storm one, that one that came out in the 90s. They have epic collections of those. So they're a little different in the sense that it's just not a run of issues.
Yeah, it's like a central theme. Yeah. Right? They'll pick one particular topic and just gather all those issues that pertain to that topic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly. What you said. All right.
And they're in color.
And they're in color too. They don't have all the letters pages and all that too. All right. Some of the other ones. And if you're a DC fan, I think you're going to have some of these in your library. Everyone always talks about The Watchmen. I'm not a big fan of The Watchmen. I give it its credit. I read it. I saw the movie. I don't really care for it much. But everyone seems to love it. It's on Time Magazine's 100 Greatest Books of the 20th Century. So maybe you pick up The Watchmen. There's a new sequel now called Beyond Watchmen or The Doomsday Clock. That's out there too. There's also The Dark Knight by Frank Miller. You got to have that one. Some other ones out there. They have the Harley Quinn collection if you like that character.
It's funny when you're talking about those trades. For people to buy. Those are the ones that I have. Like, and don't forget that Batman Year One.
Yep. Some of the good Batman stories from the 80s. You got to have that Year One.
Yeah. I have to throw this one out there, Mitch. How about the Shazam vs. Superman trade paper?
Oh, no, they made one of those?
Yeah, I have that. They made that like about 2-3 years ago, and they took all the first time, like, you know, all the stories, the best stories of Superman fighting
Captain Marvel. Yeah.
And it's just a trait of it. And I think that Jerry Ordway's is one of his stories is in there when he was doing The Power of Shazam.
Yeah.
One of those parts is in there too.
Now, did you ever collect or did you ever have anybody come up to you and get the newspaper strips? I know they do a Superman, a Batman, and now they have a Wonder Woman where they actually go and collect the newspaper strips that ran for years. Like,
They have the Spider-Man ones. You can get those.
Now, I've seen them. I just never purchased them, though, because I used to read the Spider-Man one in the papers in the 70s and such, but I didn't know that.
The funny thing is I actually read a few of those at Roy's house because he had every volume, and I was like, oh, I want to see these because they're all the ones that him and Stanley have been doing forever.
Yeah.
But it's funny with those newspaper strips. I loved the earlier ones when John Romita was doing it, and I had all the Hulk ones, too, because they made paperback.
Yep, I had those collections, yeah.
And we had all those, but those were kind of based on the TV series, the Lou Ferrigno, TV series. So I didn't really care about those. But the Spider-Man ones, the funny thing is, I actually have the He-Man ones when IDW did Dark Horse did those big books. Big thick He-Man books and has the entire He-Man newspaper.
I didn't even know there was a He-Man cartoon comics.
Yeah, it was only in Europe, but it's a nice big book and they did it. But I'm going to be honest with you, with a lot of those newspaper stuff, they're written different to be in the newspapers and stuff, but they just never appealed to me as much as the actual comics.
Yeah, now I hear you too. They were kind of simple. They were good when I was like 8 or 9, but that's about it, you know. Very simplistic. Other ones, real quick, you mentioned Roy. You got to get the 75th anniversary of Marvel Comics, that massive book. But the thing of it is, I have it, and as great as it is, it's very cumbersome. It must weigh, I'm not kidding, about 10 or 12 pounds, and it's oversized. It's like 20 by 30. It's just crazy. I don't know how big it really is, but it comes with its own carrying case. But the good news is, they just released it in a paperback form, so it's a little bit more manageable, and it's from the folks over. Is it Tassin? Is that how you say it?
What is it?
Taschen? The people that did the Roy 75th book. What's the publisher's name?
Oh, T-A-C-S-H-E-N,
something like that. Yeah, Taschen? Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Taschen? Yeah. Now, that's out in paperback, so, I mean, that is literally an amazing book. You could read that book for months, because I always keep going back to it. It's so full of things from the old 40s to the 50s. It just goes on and on and on. So.
That was a great, I got to admit, that's a great idea by Taschen, taking those chapters, and then they're making little books of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one right here. It just came today called The Little Book of Captain America. What they did is they went in there, in case you don't want to buy the big book, that was originally $200. The paperback, I think, is a lot cheaper. But what they did is they took out all the certain heroes, like Captain America, Spider-Man, Hulk, and they're all by Roy Thomas, of course. And they just have these small books that are about the size of an old TV guide. And it's, how many pages is this thing? It is,
are they hardcover each? Are they hardcover?
No, it's a paperback. It's 180 pages. It's only $9, and it's called The Little Book of Captain America. It's really kind of cool, and like I said, they have, it's everything that's in the big book, but in a smaller, manageable form. So that's out there, too. There's also the DC Encyclopedia. There's the Golden Age of DC Comics by Paul Levitz, the Silver Age by Paula. It just goes on. There's a lot of, if you're into history, there's books. I'll tell you one, the DC Silver Age history, for only like $20, which is pretty cheap considering it was $100 a year ago. So you got to look around for that stuff. One of the books you got to have is the, even if you don't have any artistic skills, that book came out, I think it was in the 80s or maybe even the 70s, Marvel Way.
No, it wasn't Tony Romita, it was John Buscema.
Oh, I'm sorry, John Buscema. Yeah, you're right. And paperback now, I think it's probably like $15-$20 or something like that. It's a really great book.
I like those collected books.
And real quick, too. For the collector, if there's, they're never going to not need plastic bags and backing boards and long boxes. Now they have these short boxes that are that came along and said, why don't you print on them? And now that's what they do. So you can get these new custom display boxes, I guess you want to call it. And have you got the Slab Pro Invisible comic boards? Have you seen that? Instead of a white cardboard, you can now get like a plastic backing board so you can see the back of the book.
Yeah, I did see that. I know that they're kind of expensive, too. Are they like a dollar each?
Yeah, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. But I guess
they're not cheap. But I think that would be good for, like, if you don't want to get a CGC or CBCS, like, graded thing, it's kind of cool to have, like, a comic that you like, and you can put it in there, and you can see the back of it and stuff, you know? It can be, if you do it on select comics that mean something, like
valuable
comics, I see it, but, you know, it can be like, you know, one of your favorite comics that you don't want to open up all the time. You know,
and you gotta know what you're buying. If you don't know your comic book history, just don't pick up any plastic bags and assume they're going to work, because you're going to have Silver Age size that go for books all the way up into what, the early 70s, maybe late
60s. Yeah.
And then you're going to have the modern age plastic.
Yeah, when you get those modern size bags, they're pretty small.
Yeah. And then the backing boards, too. I think there's, what, 100 a package when you buy them? Something like that.
Yeah, they're 100 and, they're 100 the bags and, I think 100 boards, too, correct?
Yeah, and the long boxes, you can get a long box for somebody. That's about 27 inches long, and they hold about 300 to 350 comics, depending on how you put them in there. I've gotten older. I've gotten short boxes now because I can pick them up and they're easy to carry around. But that's how old. Have you ever seen anybody that have the collector drawers where you make like a modular system and you have the boxes that slide in and out?
Yeah, I think I saw those.
Yeah. I don't know who has that, but I've seen them. And I don't know anybody personally. But you can get that type of stuff in collecting. And of course, if you're stuck, you could always go to your local comic book store and buy a gift certificate, and you could, you know, they could pick out what they want as far as that. Now, let's talk real quick about merchandise. There's tons of statues. If you're into that, you're always going to find Batman statues. There's really expensive ones that are hundreds of dollars from people like, what is it, Gentle Giant and all that stuff. You go online, there's Sideshow Collectibles. They're huge. But they make these, who makes it? Kotobukiya or Diamond Select. They're kind of vinyl, they're plastic, but they look like big statues, and they go anywhere from like $35 to $70. So you can buy some of that stuff. They're not going to be valuable, right? They're not going to be collector items, right?
I tell people this, listen, at this time and at this stage, they make so much of everything, you shouldn't even look at them as collector items. Get something because you enjoy it. I can understand getting an old comic and spending a couple grand because it's going to be worth more. But if you're getting stuff today like a statue or whatever it may be, don't look at it for like, oh, is it going to be worth something? Get it because it's cool and you like it and you want to display it. That's what I say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Because I've got some statues around the house and stuff, Captain America. I'm not ever going to sell them. They'll have to get rid of them after I'm gone. So it is what it is. And we just
That's why I like your collection. Even Matt Herring's collection. It's just like it's your personal collection.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that you like. You don't need everything.
Oh, God, no. And you couldn't get everything. You really couldn't. There's just too much nowadays.
Oh, right. But you just get the stuff that you love.
I mean, there's an X... I'm looking at a magazine here. There's an X... what's X-22? X-23. Wolverine's daughter. X-23?
Yeah, X-23.
Yeah, there's a statue of her. In an X-Men outfit. Very nice. I don't want it, personally, but maybe somebody's a fan of that stuff. So, I don't think there's a character out there you couldn't find a statue or a toy of. So, but other things to recommend, like you said, don't think about it as collectibles. What about movies? Anybody, DVDs, Blu-rays? I know you still get your Blu-rays and all that. Anybody come by?
You know what I saw today, Mitch?
What?
At Target. I was actually doing Christmas shopping today for my daughter, and I saw the Netflix DVD set.
Oh, really?
I meant the Stranger Things Netflix. But they actually packaged it like an old VHS.
I saw that. Yeah, it was kind of cool. The packaging.
I'm just saying, that was kind of cool to see, because I didn't know Netflix was also putting their series out on DVD.
No, it's only at Target. You can't get that anywhere else, so that's...
Oh,
yeah.
Only at Target.
Yeah, okay. And it's like $24, but, you know, because not everybody has Netflix, you know. Sometimes we get spoiled and think everybody knows what we're talking about. If you go to Walmart, you can find the Daredevil Season 1, Season 2, and Jessica Jones, the entire season... on DVD or Blu-ray, and I think they're like $14 or something. Not that expensive, but you can buy those as well if you're into.
Well, I might have to go for that because I want the Punisher. And
well, that's not out yet, so.
Yeah, but I might. So eventually, the Punisher will be out on DVD this season.
Yeah, no, I actually picked up the two Daredevil ones because that's the thing. Netflix, you don't know how long something's going to last. They might stop showing them. You know, it doesn't mean it's always going to be there, but. You have the DVD.
And they're only like $15 each?
Yeah, I think they might even be $10 each.
Wow, I'm going to have to come
Yeah,
back.
Yeah, they don't make a lot of them, too. So, again, those are something I think you can find on Amazon. You know, some shows no longer make DVDs because that's not a big thing anymore. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can only buy the DVDs, I think, on Amazon.com. That's it. They don't sell the seasons on in the stores. Not that people are really buying it. It's on its fifth season, but still. It's one of those things. And then you know what I always got, too? It's always as a kid, were the calendars. The Marvel calendars, when they used to make them, that was a real big thing years ago when I was in the 70s.
Yeah, I actually have them. It's from 1975 all the way to 81. They stopped in 81, and then they restarted it again in 88.
Yeah, there was a Hulk one, too. Wasn't there an all-Hulk one?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah, that was part. Spider-Man, the Hulk was in 79. Spider-Man was in 78. And, Doctor Strange one was in 76, but yeah, that whole series, it started in 74.
I thought it was 74 because I had the Bicentennial one in 76, too.
No, the Bicentennial. I think 75 is when they started it, so it went 75 all the way to 81, and then they stopped doing it, and then they came back in 88.
Well, nowadays, I went to the store the other day, and there's like multiple versions of them. They're not the same where they used to have... I mean, back then, there was original artwork. Most of it was by John Romita, maybe John Buscema. And they'd have little clever things on certain days and little jokes and trivia and stuff.
Yeah, you know who used to write those, Mitch? You know who used to write a lot of that stuff? Is the guy that's coming to your show this year. I mean, for 2018. Tony Isabella. He was one of the...
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, ask them about that.
Yeah, that's cool. No. Now I picked up the Marvel desk calendar last year because that's the only thing I could find that's kind of close to it, where each day they'll have a photo or they'll have some trivia or some questions and something like that. And that's only like $10 that you can pick that up at a Walmart or anywhere. So that's pretty cool. But I like the old stuff. Now, if somebody was a collector, can you find those old calendars? Are they expensive or worthless?
Yeah, they could be about I would say high-end ones would be $100, but they're like between $40 to $100, depending on which one.
Wait. $100 a piece?
Yeah, they can, because they get kind of chipped up, because remember how they have that metal coil?
They were spiral-bound.
I actually have the entire set, and I was selling the entire set for $350, and I sell...
Really?
At my shop right now, I have the Hulk one, and I sell that one for $50. But, because it's hard. That I told you, that 1981 one in John Byrne, an early John Byrne drawing was on the cover. And the 70, I think it's the 78 or 70, not the 76, but the 77 one's kind of tough to find.
See, so I had those. Every year I'd get those for Christmas. And like an idiot, I would rip them out from that spiral bound and just hang the photos up once the year was over, you know?
Oops. But those are great. I love those. Those are awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to... Well, nobody knew it was going to be worth anything. So calendars are fun. What's that?
I just had to throw in another fun thing Marvel put. Remember those Mighty Marvel fun books that they
made? Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, they reprinted one of those... A couple years ago, they reprinted the Secret Wars one that had, like, mazes and crossword puzzles and all those. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but not the ones before the Secret Wars, the ones that came out in the late 70s.
Yeah, no, they were like little paperback books. I think Pocket put them out. And I used to get those too, but I used to write and draw them all through the puzzles. I bet you can't find any that are unused.
Those are tough to find, yeah.
Yeah, those have value?
Oh, yeah. But the one that's the toughest one was the Mighty Marvel Mazes one. Because first they were bigger books. And then you remember there was a lot of, like, smaller books?
Yeah, I remember the smaller books. I don't remember the big ones.
Yeah, and then they made value packs. Like, they had a Hulk 4-pack and they had a Spider-Man 4-pack.
Yeah.
But they went a little wild with that. But those original there was five volumes of the original Marvel fun books. Those were great. And plus you got great characters in there, too. You had all the characters of the Marvel Universe, even the obscure ones.
Well, here's another one to throw it at you. If you're going to go through collectors and you're going to go looking for something that they might not have and you can't pick up anymore, there used to be, like, the Marvel cookbook, the Marvel exercise book. Are those anything that are worth hunting down or any value?
Yes, they do. And I actually have those both, too. Because those are obscure ones. The cookbook, I think, is one of the greatest of those Marvel books because... It was fun. That's when comics were fun, and they put these superheroes in, like, they had the Hulk shrimp basket and that. And when I was a kid and I saw that, I was like, I thought those were the, like, oh my God, you can cook an actual dinner that the Hulk made, or they even had, like, the Watcher turnips and all that stuff. It was great. That was awesome.
But again, you're saying those are scarce?
Oh, yeah, those are tough to find. And they're a little valuable. They can cost you up to $100 a piece, those books. Maybe sometimes even more. The cookbook is such an odd one that that can actually go for like $200.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those are... Because I have them all, but I love those. There's just something about the kookiness of it. Like,
yeah.
The quirkiness. Now, so cool.
Now, something I collect for years, and I don't know how big they are anymore, but I used to collect movie posters. Because back before the internet and before eBay, it wasn't easy to get a movie poster. You'd have to go to your local movie theater. You'd have to beg the manager to give you the movie poster when they were done. Because it used to be some fine print on the bottom that said, this poster must be destroyed once the run of the film is over. They weren't supposed to give those away. They were supposed to rip them up and shred them up. So they were really hard to get, the original posters, because you ran Star Wars, you're supposed to rip it up. So I would go to the theaters, and I'd beg the guy to give me the posters, so I would always get the movie posters. But with all the Marvel movies, I actually tried to get each poster from each Marvel movie, but I just gave up. Because with the X-Men movies and the Fantastic Four and all this, it just got to be too much. So even now, I'll just pick up maybe the Captain America movie poster. And those aren't hard to get anymore. You can go on eBay. You can get reprints of those things from like $20 to, you know, the real things are like $50 or $60. But anyway, that's...
Yeah, but that's, unfortunately, you know, the mass consumption...
I know, it's paper, you know? It's not a big thing anymore. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Action figures are always good for people, but... If you're going to get a nice present for somebody, I'd get a valuable, older, collectible, vintage figure, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's funny. If you're gonna get
yeah, I would go back and get an old Mego. I really would. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want one on the card, a fun one would be like Spider-Man. Like, because Spider-Man's only. I mean, if you don't want to spend so much money, a Spider-Man on the card. It's probably $150. Now that they're up to $100 because they mass produce that. Same with the Hulk ones. And those are kind of cool. But if you want, I'll tell anybody this: if you want to get somebody a Mego, just get one off the card because the difference in price. Even a clean, fully complete Mego is only the most expensive. They go for $60, but the majority of them are only like $40, $50.
Well, I saw just on Comic Book Man this week, they sold to this rapper called Method Man. He was on the Luke Cage show. He bought Aquaman mint in box for $400 from Walt Flanagan. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. The box is really good. $300 to $400 is good for Aquaman.
But that's kind of pricey. What about, I'm going to tell you, again, we're just doing some holiday gifts, but I have, and I wish I had it complete, it was Remco. It was a Spider-Man, and his arm was up in the air, and there was like a thin fishing line in it, and you could hook it up, and it had batteries. It was, what was it called, like Power Up Spider-Man? And it
you need to know. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, what is that?
It was the Energized Spider-Man by Remco. They made an Energized Spider-Man, and then they also made a helicopter, and basically, yeah, all it was you press the button in the back, and then the string goes up, and then you hook it, and then you press it again, and Spider-Man basically, the string lifts Spider-Man up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. They made a Spider-Man, they made a Spider-Man copter, they made a Green Goblin, but they made, I also have one, I'm looking at it right now in my house, on the box, it's the Incredible Energized Hulk. The Hulk one is the hardest one to get, and basically he comes with this little string thing and you put it under some brick wall and then you just press the button and it just lifts the string up and breaks the wall. It's okay. But yeah, those were called Remco. And you want to know something funny? It's funny how you mentioned that. The reason why I know those guys so well was that was Remco's line that fought against Mego Elastic line. But that was, you can't do that anymore because, you know, back then you could give the license to so many different toy companies and they could make toys of like all this Spider-Man stuff, and then it was like to go up against, and they look kind of like the other figures that from another company. You can't do that anymore.
No, I noticed that. I think nowadays when you go, like, Hasbro has the rights to the 3 3/4 and the 6-inch Marvel Legends figures, and that's all they can make, and then Lego can only make the little tiny Lego characters because each one of them can only do a certain style. They can't. That's why you don't see people making knockoff Star Wars figures or not. That's it. Whoever owns that license, you're it. You can't do other ones, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's, I get some old stuff. You can get some Christmas ornaments from Hallmark. You go to the Hallmark store. They've always got a Spider-Man. They've got, this year, they got a Batcopter.
Those ornaments are kind of expensive now.
I know. They used to be like $10. Now they're like 20. I bought the Batcopter because it was at Terrificon this year, and I got it on my tree. But I don't know, man. I'm like $20-something for an ornament. Gets a little crazy, I think so.
But the 20 or 30?
Oh, it depends. I don't know. It depends. They have like some that talk. Like Star Wars, they'll sing, they'll play the theme songs, they'll have dialogue from the movies. They can get pricey. I don't know if there's an aftermarket for those. I remember years ago, Star Trek were a big thing. But like you said, all the stuff's mass-produced, so don't go nuts with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yeah, so that's about it. The toys, posters, books. What else would you get for somebody for a good Christmas present if they were into comics?
Let's just be honest. There's so much stuff today, and like any parents out there that might not know, I would just say a gift card to their comic book store.
Yeah, great. Yeah. No, like I said, when we were kids, it was easy because they didn't have anything. They have, like you said, the Mego superheroes or the Remco or maybe Ideal or the Hulk Rage Cage or some board game. Remember there were some cool superhero board games?
But yeah. You had to go to Toys R Us and what was that is then. That's what you got.
Yeah.
The next year, that was gone.
No, now I can tell you now, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy Monopoly, there's a Spider-Man Monopoly, there's different age groups too. There's stuff for the little kids, there's, you know, for preschoolers, there's like high schoolers, I don't know what. There's all types of toys now, and it's crazy.
But let's be honest, did you ever think in a million years that you would ever think that it would be this big? I knew it could be big, but I didn't expect this, because being in Target today, like I said, I went, you know, you're just looking in the grown-up section of clothes and kids section. There's just tons of shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
The T-shirts.
Shang-Chi. I saw a Shang-Chi shirt.
Like I know, right? I see some designs on T-shirts. I've seen a Moon Knight shirt, a Luke Cage shirt. I saw a Mysterio. They're so obscure characters you never in a million years thought they would actually make a figure of, you know? Or a shirt.
And the clothing. I know. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah, no, it is something. I mean, you can get pajamas, you can get outfits, all kind of crazy stuff. You know what's a good item? Hulk cans. Remember the original Hulk cans?
They make those like every year. The ones that punch and crash. And
yeah, those. But they're not the same. My kids had them when they were little, when the first Hulk movie came out, and they were bigger, and they were foam, and they used to make noise when you punch them. They would roar. But
It's funny you say that, because I just saw the new ones, and it's the Gladiator Hulk cans.
But yeah, but they're small, like half the size. You know?
That's funny.
Anyway, one of the things I said we were going to talk about at the beginning of the show, we're done with the holiday gift guide. Like you said, there's plenty of them out there. Go to the comic stores, ask them. Buy some older issues, too, if you don't know what they want. Go back and buy some old stuff. But speaking of reading comics, we had a discussion about this. You were making fun of me about the way I read books. Let's just run down the list. You have a comic book, a stack of comic books. You're going to sit down, you're going to relax, it's calm, no one's bothering you, and you just want to read your four-color adventures, or maybe black and white. I told you that I still lay on the floor with a stack of books like I was 5 years old, and I will go through that books because I just like looking at them. I lean over the things, I read them, and I just sort through them. I put them in order, which ones I'm going to read first, from best to worst. And that's how, and when I'm done, I flip them over and I put them in my done pile. And that's how I read it. And you mocked me and said,
You're laying on your stomach. Are your legs spread out or are they together?
Sometimes they might be together, but sometimes they might be spread out. Yes. Sometimes they might be bent up like a young child. Yeah. So, and I have the TV on and I'll have whatever dog we currently have laying next to me reading books. And that's how, and I've been doing that since. I was four, so for 47 years, I think I've been reading books like that. So that's why I do it. And you find nothing but amusement in this procedure.
Yeah, you look like some big baby. Like if I were to walk down your stairs and I saw you, I'd be like,
like baby Huey.
Big baby.
All right. Now, how do you read comics?
Mitch, to be honest with you, I kind of like the way you do, but I usually would have, I mean, I haven't read a comic in years, so, but if I read a comic book, I'll lay on the bed, and I'll move the pillow over, and I'll lay down, like, on my stomach, with, you know, and look at the book that way, and then I'll be turning the pages on, like, you know, I won't hold it, it'll, like, you know, my hands will be at my side. It's almost like how you do it, but I have to do it on a bed. I have to do it on a bed. But like I said, I haven't read a comic in, I don't know, maybe 20 years.
All right, well, let's go down the roster. We've talked real briefly. Matt Herring over at the former Secret Identity podcast. Now he's on a new podcast called Power Chords. He has a habit of running a bath, and then he has he reads the comic books in the bathtub. And I always used to be like, how does he do this? But he has like a tray that goes across the edges of the tub that he props the book up in, and he will have his Mountain Dew. He's a big soda fan. So he's sitting there, I'm assuming naked, soaking in a bath, drinking his Mountain Dew, reading comic books until he's withered like a prune. Because I'm like, how long is he in that tub? How hot is that water? You know?
And Mitch, he'll also take stacks of old comic books.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. He's got, I've seen him with Silver Age books. Yeah. Not that I'm in the tub with them, but that, now that seems more bizarre to me than laying on your stomach.
No, yes, bizarre. No, it's just the fact of you laying there like a big
baby. All right.
But, and that is not a guy that's really a conditioned guy. He just likes to have the comics.
He just likes, yeah.
But he'll read, like Fantastic Four, number two or three.
Yeah, oh yeah, valuable books, yeah.
Yeah, just like that, because that's how he likes to read. And
today, I was at lunch with Ordway. It's his birthday, Jerry Ordway, famous Superman artist and writer of Shazam. I asked him, he thought it was bizarre, but he actually reads them on his drafting table, where it's angled a little bit. Like, he'll be there, which is actually pretty cool, because he doesn't have to, like, stretch over to, you know, look at the top of the page if it's a big, you know, Treasury edition. It lays flat on his table. And he looks at it, and he said if it's an older book that's Silver Age, you know, he's careful with it. He won't bend the cover or anything like that, you know. He said, I could sit there and read it in a, you know, like a newspaper. I could sit in a chair, too, and read it side to side. He thought it was bizarre the way we read a comic book, you know.
Yeah, and then another one of our...
Well, we're going to save the best for last. I know where you're going with this one. So I think... I think that's everybody, right? That's Matt,
no,
you.
No, how about Roy Thomas?
How does Roy Thomas, legendary writer and editor at Marvel Comics?
Yes, I had to ask him, but in his study, he has, he has two parts to his study, like, where he does. It's where he writes all his stuff, like, on his typewriter and computer, but then where he has, like, all his, a lot of his books. But he has this smaller, he's got this almost like reclining old couch. A chair. And it's definitely from the 70s, but it's very comfortable. So I asked him, I'm like, really, show me how you read comic books. He doesn't really read comic books anymore, but he sits down on this chair, crosses his leg, and then he opens the book, and he basically has it on his knee, like that top knee, that when he's crossing his legs, that's where he puts the comic or the book, and he reads it like that and stuff. And then he'll put it on the side. It's a comfy chair. So I actually got to see how he read, because believe it or not, I had to know.
All right. Well, now we saved the best for last, and it's not the best. It's actually one of the most horrific things I've ever seen in my life. Keith Gleason of what was the book that you and Keith used to do?
Keith Gleason of promoter of Plastic City Comic Con.
Plastic City Comic Con that's coming back for a third year. This April 7th, is it? When is it?
April 21st.
Oh, April 21st. Okay. Now, Keith's been around for years. He did a comic book, Hero Envy, right? Was that the comic book?
Yeah, Hero Envy, Reckless Sidekick Productions.
Reckless Sidekick Productions. Husband to Amy, who they do shows together. You'll see there. Amy's got crafts and artwork and all kind of buttons and statues, all kind of things there. Very talented couple. Now, you sent me a photo because you described this to me, and I didn't believe you, but I opened my photos, and before me was one of the most hideous things I'd ever seen in my life.
Hold on. Let me get some backstory. I've known Keith for 20 years, and obviously we worked in comic book stores together. We did everything, but I would always watch him, like, when he would read a comic book, because it was always the same thing. Now, Keith would sit there, sometimes with his leg crossed, but... Okay, Keith is a heavy. He's a heavy guy. So basically, when he would sit down, his belly would kind of be out, and he would kind of rest the comic with his left hand on his belly while he reads the comic. But his right hand, he would take his thumb from his right hand, and he would just gnaw the crap out of his thumb, out of this thumbnail, and it had become like a stump. Like some sort of like fungi, beaten, calloused nail, and I sent Mitch a picture. Mitch, go ahead.
Oh yeah, and so I didn't know what to expect. So I'm sitting there on my iPhone, and you call up. You go, look at your camera, look at your phone. So I look and I open this photo up. I thought it was someone's big toe. I had no idea what I was looking at. I mean, it's this round, Fred Flintstone like bulbous thing, and it had this like chewed up middle to it. And I said, oh my God, what is this? Is it an onion? Or is it a bad turnip or something? And you go, no, that is Keith's thumb. And I'm almost tempted to post the picture on our Facebook page. I love Keith. Don't get me wrong. He's a fantastic guy. I love his show. He's one of the greatest people you'll ever meet in your life. Genuine. Honest as the day is long. The salt of the earth. Terrific guy. But you got to put a thimble on that thumb. You got to stop. You got to stop. I'm begging you.
But the funny thing is, all his other nails are fine. You just look at this thumb, and it looks like it was... You know what it looks like? He was hitting it against the rock for like 30 years. Like, you just keep punching the rock with that thumb, and it becomes... And you can't even bite anything out of it.
No, it's like in James Bond. They had this villain called Oddjob, and he had his hands, and they were like rocks. Because he would take his hands, he was like a karate guy, kung fu, and he would smash them into like wood every day since he was a child. And they became so hardened and calloused, he could like put his hands through a wall. You know, they were like sledgehammers. And that's what I'm thinking. So, of course, we haven't heard from everybody. I'm sure we're going to get some emails, and you want to post them on the...
That's a good thing. I mean, if anybody wants to post below this when we put this out, tell us how you read.
Oh, you can post it on the Secret Identity on the Power Cosmic Facebook page. You could post photos on that thing, and there's only like 100 people on that page, so I think we got more than that listening. I would love to see some photos. I know Scott Martin is going to send us his information on how he reads a comic book.
I would like to know how Frank Cass. Frank Cass better not lay down and do it because he sweats so much. His sweat would probably...
Frank Cass probably reads it with, like, oven mitts on, you know?
Yeah, and then there's Kenny Lawrence.
Kenny Lawrence is still working his way through Spidey Super Stories. Let's not get too far.
Spidey Super Stories number one.
Yeah, I don't know. It says easy reader. I don't get it. It's a little too hard for me. I don't get it.
Gambino must be reading his when he's eating, so I'm sure there's spaghetti sauce all over.
Oh, come on now. Well, there you have it. That's our public service announcement on how to read comics. I don't think there's a right or wrong way. There's definitely some scary ways out there. But as long as you're reading, that's what they used to say in school. As long as he's reading, that's good. That's good. So.
But let us know how you read them. I'm interested.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up with one final question. If you, now you've had thousands of objects in your possession, your collection of Hulk stuff is legendary, you had thousands of pieces at one point, but if they came to you when it was Christmas morning and the magic of Christmas was there and they said, John, if you can get one comic book related or comic related gift, what would it be under the tree?
I think everybody would know that. It'd be the Meagle Elastic Hulk. I would, because I always wanted that, and I never.
But you own that. You own that. What don't you have?
Are you talking about now or as a kid?
Yeah, just now. Now.
Okay, now, what would I like? I would have said the Captain Action Spider-Man, but I got that in the box. But I got that. Let me see. What would be a gift that I would like? It's kind of hard now because I've gotten everything that I've ever wanted. But I would, you know what I would say? That's a tough one, Mitch. Why don't you answer that question and I'll come back to it because I really don't know. I'll tell you, I know this is going to sound corny, but I like getting stuff for people rather than receiving.
No, I do too. I actually like finding gifts that I think somebody might like, and I'm more into giving the gifts to people because, like I said, I'm pretty happy with everything I have. I mean, I have reprints of a lot of the comics I always wanted if I don't own them, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to tell you.
I don't mean to sound spoiled, but like through the years, I've kind of gotten everything I've ever wanted. And a lot of the stuff today, I'm not so into. I like seeing it in stores, but I'm not so into it. I don't play video games. I don't.
Yeah.
So I would just say, like, I really don't know. I'll get something for my daughter, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I like the old Atari games. I remember playing those. It was kind of fun. I'd say, really, if I can go back and wake up on Christmas morning, stuff I never had. I never was into the Marvel superhero. What was it? What was the line in the 80s? The Mattel ones.
The what is it?
The superpowers?
What about them?
Yeah, no, not the DC. What were the Marvel? Oh, the Secret Wars figures. You know? Didn't they have like a Secret Wars like castle or something like that? Like Doctor Doom's castle?
Yeah, Doctor Doom Tower.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Something, because by that point I was a teenager and I was out of toys and I was out of like getting that stuff because I was too busy trying to get girls. And I missed a lot of that stuff. And now I look back at it and I see. But you know, no, I know what I'd get. I would like a complete Mighty Marvel Marching Society kit. From the 60s.
Yeah, I had one of those. Those are expensive.
Oh, I know. I have the record. I bought the record. It's like, you know, in a blue sleeve. It has them all singing the song and stands on it with Jack and everybody, I think. What else was in that kit? A pin?
I'll tell you this what I have of that, left of that. Yeah, I have the record. I have a few other things. I have the stationery kit. But I have the Mary Marvel Marching Society card without anybody written their name on it. That is so hard to find. That card right there is worth about...
The membership card?
Yeah, the membership card. And it has the six heroes all around it, unwritten on.
Yeah.
That can go for about maybe $1,500.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, just the card, I swear to
God.
Nah,
see, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on it, no.
No, that's insane, but I still have that. That's a great piece. But getting a full kit, that's going to run you, it was $2,000.
Really?
Yeah, I had one. And then, and there's a whole decal sticker that came with that, too. Like, that cost $400. $400 or $500.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I don't know. See, something from the...
That would be a great thing to have.
Something from the early days of Marvel, you know? Just something like that. That's why that Marvel Vault book, isn't that what Roy put out years ago? The Marvel Vault that had a reproduction of it in there?
Yeah. Well, it didn't have that one, but it had a lot of reproduction stuff in there. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool to own. Anything the old Marvel stuff. Maybe some of those posters that had, what were they, like $1.50?
What, the blue light ones?
No, not the black light ones.
You're talking about the Marvel posters.
Yeah, they were white. Yeah.
Yeah, those go for a little bit. But you got to remember, they also made, the first one they made was a giant door poster of the Ditko Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's running, right?
Yeah, I did buy. She wanted also. I bought it for $20, like 100 years ago.
Really? See, Alex Ross did a version of that this year. They were selling them, and I kicked myself now. They were selling them at New York Comic Con. Alex Ross recreated a lot of classic posters and images. He did the Rock Comic Spider-Man album cover, and he did the Ditko running Spider-Man, and it was $100, and it was signed by Alex Ross, and it was on sale at New York Comic Con, and I looked at it, and I didn't want to carry it around the show. I didn't want to get it all banged up and dinged up, so I didn't get it, and I was just looking the other day because my wife said, is there anything you want really for Christmas? And I looked online, and every one of those things is now sold out, so what are you going to do?
Let me tell you this. That Spider-Man wall poster, like the door one, that was the first one they made. That's probably about $2,000-$3,000 now. I mean, that goes crazy. But one time, a guy came to Roy's table, and he had just about everybody's signature on that, other than Steve Ditko, because Roy had to sign it. And I looked at that, and I was like, oh my God, you got the poster with all these names. I was like, this has got to be like a $5,000 to $10,000 thing. It had Stan Lee's name. Everybody but Ditko, but he had Jack Kirby's name on it.
Did he have Artie Simic?
Yeah, he had literally like 100 signatures all over this poster, and I was like, that is awesome. It was the original one from 1966, I think it came out, it came in 66 or 65, I think 66, but he even had Flo Steinberg's name on it. Yeah, I said, this thing's got to be worth like $10, I told Roy, I was like, Jesus Christ, I would love to take that. Put that thing in a frame, unbelievable. I don't know how that guy was.
Yeah, no, that's. I'm just listening to you now. That would be like a cool thing, some autographs.
But that's what I said to the guy. I said to him, I was like, how did you do it? He goes, oh, he was an older guy. He was in his 50s, but he said, oh, I've been doing this for years. He goes, this has been going on for the last 30 years. I know it had to be because somebody, he had John Buscema's name on it.
Yeah, yeah. See, yeah, that's one of those things you got to start early on. You know, that's something you can't just put together tomorrow, you know.
Well, he said that he originally bought that poster, like, you know, when he was a kid. So he was, and I was just like, that is incredible.
See, I used to bring around this big book, the history of history of Spider-Man. And the problem is the binding started going on it. But before I started doing conventions, I would bring that to the shows. And whenever I'd find an artist that drew Spider-Man, I'd open up to the page of the cover or the artwork, and I'd have them sign it. So I have it downstairs, and I've got Frank Miller, Alex Ross, you know, Jeff Loeb, or, you know, and I started bringing it to my own shows, and I'd get Zek to sign it. So it's a book that has all the different Spider-Mans over the years. John Romita Jr. signed it, and I have, you know, all their signatures on it. But the problem is the binding started coming apart, so I stopped bringing it to shows, you know. So
it's just cool. Interesting what some people have been doing. It was just so cool to see that, you know.
Yeah.
Great stuff out there.
But now, you know what would be cool, Alan? The Roy Thomas Spider-Man costume.
What's up?
That would be a cool gift to own, the Roy Thomas Spider-Man costume.
Oh, and it was sold to a private collector. We actually sold that.
And does Roy have any other costumes left in this house?
Oh, we'll see. There'll be stuff coming out.
All right, we'll have to wait and see what 2018 brings to us in the Power Cosmic. We got a couple more shows before the end of the year. We'll have to do a year-end wrap-up. I mean, what else? You and I got some adventures coming up soon at Ace Comic Con. We're going to try to see Henry Cavill, what's her name? Gal Gadot and The Flash and Jason Momoa and Cyborg. All the Justice League will be there.
Maybe are they ready for the Three Musketeers? Me, you, and Jerry Ordway?
Ordway's home drawing a Henry Cavill picture to present to the guy, to get a picture with him and a present or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Jerry, such a swindler, so he doesn't have to pay. I'll give you this. So
yeah.
Great guy.
He's a great guy. He's one of the best. All right, John, it's been over 1 hour, and this has been going on too long, and we've learned a lot here. So how do you just end it, Johnny?
And that's that.
You went.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.